Because when a person is gaiva, he actually becomes infused with spirit of tumah, says the Masha. So in place of having an neshama kadosha, which is a spirit of kedusha, if a person has gaiva, it's called gasas haruach, because through gaiva, through the gaiva, ruach, he brings in another spirit, namely the opposite of kedusha. He brings in a ruach of tumah within himself, and guess what? Once you have within yourself a ruach of tumah, there's no telling what averus you may do. Yes, it may lead you even to do arayas as well, because you have a ruach of tumah within you. You have brought tumah within your heart. So that's the kavana of Yeshua Kilubal Kol Arayas, because you have set yourself up in a way that you're open to do any avera. You can do now the worst averus, because gasas haruach, you're bringing in an entirely different spirit. Instead of the ruach kedusha, the neshama that you're endowed with, you are now bringing in another type of a ruach, which is a ruach of tumah. And once you have a ruach of tumah, you become very vulnerable to be able to do all kinds of averus. The yesh omrim, and then there's a yesh omrim if you're a balgaiva, right? Is kilu bono bomo, is if he built a bomo. Bomo is a provisional altar, which means you're not allowed to build a bomo when you have a mishkan or you have a beis hamikdash. You're not allowed to have an artificial bomo. You're supposed to have the bizbeach, which is of course in the beis hamikdash, and you had in the mishkan as well. Bomo, if a person builds a bomo, then in fact he's being makar of karbonis, right, in an inappropriate way. Bomo, by the way, means something that is raised up, like a bima. That's what bomo means. Bomo means raised up, right? When a person really is a balgaiva, in a certain sense, he's building a bomo, means he's raising himself up. He becomes a stage. He becomes a bomo. And in fact, the Pasuk says, if a person raises himself up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to lower him. The Pasuk says, Umi bomois hagai. The Marsha says that. Umi bomois hagai. If a person is a boma, you're raising yourself up, guess what? Hagai, you're going to become a valley. From a hill, you're going to become a valley. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take that boma, he's going to take that raised up stage that you are. So the idea is here, that a person who is a balgaiva is as if he's a bomo. He's building himself up as if he is a bomo. But the truth is, it's a bomo of avodah zarah. It's a bomo of avodah zarah, as we pointed out, because he has allowed a ruach of tumah to guide it to come within himself, which is, we said, similar to avodah zarah that chases away the shekinah. So too, he says, gaiva also. V'yomru, kol odom shesh begasas ruach. The end of the day, you're not going to gain anything besides all of the averus that gaiva is going to bring you to, because he just pointed out you're going to be given over into the hands of the Yetzirah. Because Baruch Hu's got to be there to help you. Because Baruch Hu's not there to help you, then you have no exit. Then by force you're going to be, right, you're going to be held and be trapped in the hands of the Yetzirah. But besides that, even enjoying it, you know, a person who's about gaiva, he thinks of himself, he's full of himself. At the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to lower him. So he's not even going to be able to enjoy even the matzav of gasas haruach. Kol odom shesh bo gasas haruach mismayit. The end of the day, he's going to be lowered from his chashivus. That's a Gemara, by the way. That's a Gemara. And Rashi says, mismayit machashivusoi. He's going to be lowered from his chashivus. Shenema, there's a posik in Iyev. Read the posik in Iyev. Roimu ma'at ve'inenu. The literal translation of the Pasuk is, Raimu ma'at veinenu. They were exalted briefly, and then they are gone. Again, Raimu, Ram. Raimu ma'at veinenu. They were exalted briefly, Raimu ma'at, very shortly, very little. They were exalted very briefly, veinenu, and then, right, they are gone. So, the way the Gemara darshins it, Raimu ma'at. Those people who have raised themselves up, ma'at, the end of the day is they're going to be lower, they're going to become mute. Raimu, ma'at. Kol odom shesh bo gasas haruach mismayit. Not only that, a balgaiva, to get rid of the midah, has to uproot, to go all the way down to the shoyr, which have to go down to the root. You know, when you cut something above the root, you have just removed it superficially. Because if the root is still there, it doesn't take too much, it's going to grow back again. To get rid of gaiva, you have to go down to the root. Where do you find where the Torah insisted? Where else did the Torah insist you have to go down to the root? By an Asherah. When you have an avodah zarah tree, right? It says, Vashareim, Vashem, let's say, Tigadeyun. What does Tigadeyun mean? Now, a simple translation means Tigadeyun is what? To cut it? No. Tekadeyun, Rashi says, means to uproot it. When it comes to Avodah Zarah tree, you have to uproot it. Totally eradicate it. Should be no impure, no cells left. No cells whatsoever of Avodah Zarah. No vestige of Avodah Zarah. Let's take a look. V'royu legadoi kasheret. A person who has gaiva royu legadoi kasheret. And legadoi, Rashi says, in Chumash, Rashi says, yegadoi means to say is, yegadeya v'yashrish achreo. By Avodah Zarah, it says, Rashi quotes, v'ibadete meshimom. Actually, Rashi in this Gemara, Kolodim Sheish Begasas Ruach, and also which it says, V'roi Legadri Kasherim. The Gemara Soite, this is all the Gemara Soite that deals with Gaiva, all of these. So the person also, you have to uproot it completely, you have to uproot it completely. And then it says further, Shenema, the Posik says, V'rome HaKoyma, it says, Giduim, Posik Yishayah. V'rome HaKoyma, what Rome HaKoyma means, those people of lofty stature, Rome HaKoyma, people of lofty stature, Giduim, they will be severed. Giduim will be severed. What else? The Oinshim of a Balgaive. He quotes further, the Ein Aforoi Ninor. That's a very, very serious one. It means that if you don't do tshuva, he will not, his dust will not awaken, which means Tchis HaMesim. Person of Balgaive may lose his chus of Tchis HaMesim. Again, that is a Gemara, also there in Soite, Daf Hei. It's a Gemara there, it's Omer Rab Lozer. In Soite, Daf Hei, it's Rab Lozer saying it, that Kol Odom Shesh B'Gasa Seruach Eina Foroi Ninur. That his Ofor, means his dust, will not awaken. V'ashchina Me'yaleles Olof. Imagine, and the Shechina wails over him. The Shechina cries over him. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eina Ani V'Hu Yecholim Lodor B'Yolom. I and the Balgaive, we both cannot stay here on this world. Both of us don't have room here. Shenema, the Posik says, Giva Inayim, Posik in Tilim, Urachav Levov, Oisoy Lo Yuchal. A person who has Giva Inayim, he has haughty eyes. Urachav Levov means an expansive heart. Oisoy Lo Yuchal, I cannot bear to be with him. V'yomru, as a matter of fact, the Gemara says in Bava Basra further, that Haiman the Yohir, a person who is proud, Afilu a enshe beisei loy miskabel. He's not even accepted by his own household. Shenema, because the posik says, Gever yohir posik Chabakuk. Gever yohir, right? Veloy yinve. A person who is a balgaive, a person who is proud. Yohir means proud. Veloy yinve means he will not inhabit. So Chazal say, Afilu benove shaloi, even in his own inhabitation. Even in his own habitation, which means that he'll be mevuzi even within his whole family. Even his whole family will not be able to tolerate if someone is a balgaive, really a true balgaive. Even his own family will not be able to tolerate him. So these are all the things. But look what you see here, something very fascinating. It says that a person of balgaive, the shechina meyalelas olav, the shechina wails over him. You find out from here, we see how much love a Kodesh Baruch has to each and every yid. No matter who, no matter what it is. Each and every year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tremendous love. Let's realize what we're talking about. We're talking about a Balgaive. The Balgaive, on the one hand, is so toyevedik that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ein ani v'hu yichoyin l'odeh bo'ilo. That I and him cannot be here in the same world. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to distance himself from him. Right? So, Mameyele. Here, on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants to distance himself completely, be merachikim. And at the same time, a person should not think HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chalila hates him. Because why? Because the Shekhinah cries over him. The Shekhinah cares. Imagine. On the one hand, we're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I cannot stand to be with him. So he'll say, I can't stand him. Does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates him? No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hate him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adrab has Rachmonas on him. And the Shekhinah cries over him. That fact that he reached that type of a matzah, because after all, he is Yitzir Kapo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's part of the handiwork of Hashem. Hashem created him. Imagine a son. Right? A son who strays from the table of his father. So, sof kol sof, he's the son. And the father would have rachmonas that never, this is the way, this is the matzah. So maybe even the father may be merachikim because the behavior is so despicable that the father just can't have him. But you can imagine the tzar that the father has that he has to deal with him this way. That this is the matzah that it is. But the father has a lot of tzar, hoping that he'll come back. The same way we find here. On the one hand, the Balgaive Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Ein ani v'hu yichoyin l'odeh b'yoylam. But at the same time, Hashchina miyalel esolov, the Shechina cries for him. Which at the same time, there's always always a tremendous love that Kodesh Baruch Hu has for this person, hoping and possibly even encouraging him that he should be able to come back and do tshuva on his Midah Ra. The remaining moments, let's take a look at the sheets here, how much we can do on it. We'll take a look. And regarding this Inyan of Gaiva that we're talking about, first item that we have, very fascinating, is from the Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal in Perek Yud Aleph. Mesilas Yesharim, basically in Perek Yud Aleph, he elaborates quite a bit on many, many different midos, and he also focuses on Gaiva. And he talks about there are many different Balagaiva. You can't lump them all together. And it's just very fascinating, you see the psychology, the understanding, the Havana, to the T, to describe it, to understand all the different behaviors. It's just a very, very fascinating, the Mesilas Yesharim. We just brought that just one example, and two examples of different types of Balagaiva. But he goes on and on to describe. People have Gaiva in so many different areas. The person has a Gaiva in this area, but not maybe in another area, and so on. Take a look, for example, here, as he points out, as following. The Yemotze, he says, there's another type of an arrogant person who thinks. And that is, now he's describing among the many different types of Balagaiva. So he says, listen. He says, you're going to find there's another type of an arrogant person who thinks. He thinks that being that he is so worthy of praise and he has superior qualities, right? You have this Balagaiva who says, being that I have so many qualities, being that I deserve so much praise, he thinks he has the right to terrorize the world. He's high and mighty. There is such a bechina. There's a person being that he deserves so much praise and he's so great in his mind. So therefore he believes, and everyone had to tremble before him. Because it's unfitting for people to approach him, to talk to him, and to request anything. He is so high, he is so choshev. So all these common people, right? Do they really deserve, is it really shaykh that they should be able to come up to me? So this person is such a balgaive that he feels that he has a right to terrorize the world, and everybody has to tremble before him, right? And they, because it's unfitting in his mind that people should have a right to approach him, to talk to him, to request anything. The imyapilu lalo seilov, and let's say if anybody, right, thrusts themselves upon him, yevahalein bekoiloi, he'll frighten them with his voice, the balgave, to scare them off. Uberuach sfosov, he says, yehumein, and with the breath of his lips, right, he'll respond to them, ba'anois lohem azus. Respond to him with azaskait, with insolence. Uponav zayafar is b'chaleis b'chosho, and he walks around with a sour face, right? Which is basically contorted with anger all the time. This is one type of a balgaive that Ramchal points out here. So I want to show you something. There's a sefer called B'mesila Nala, which is, you can see, it's a takeoff on the word Mesila Seshar. Mesila is the path of the, right? Of the just, of the righteous. So the path, b'msil and ala, he writes as follows. He says, "Hinei klal inyan ha-gaiva huzeh." He said, when it comes to gaiva, shu'adar machshiv atzmoy ba'atzmoy. He himself, right? He himself talked himself into it that he's choshev. That's about gaiva. He himself talks himself into the fact that he's choshev. U'bilvava, he quotes the lotion of the Mesil Zisharim. He says, "U'bilvava yedame ki loy nova sehilo." This is the lotion of the Mesil Zisharim. And he, in his mind, he believes that he deserves praise. Now, Bir Hadover. So the same Mesil now explains. Ki agaive noivas meho ani shel odem. You know, every person is I. The question is, how big is the I? I mean, there's a capital I, there's a little I. And even a capital I, how capital is it? How big do you make that I? So he says, gaive basically is a teitzor. Is a teitzor which emanates from the ani of the person. And that I, by the way, just tries to expand and expand all the more. That's the nature of the beast. The I, the ani. Which basically, it threatens just to be spashtois v'harchovom machshiv atzmoy be'atzmoy. Umekoich rotzen ze, being that this person really has this rotzen to expand the eye, noil biodem dimyoinois shikrios. Therefore he begins to imagine all kinds of falsehoods, and he talks to himself all types of milos that he doesn't even have, that he believes it. Al erachatzmoi. Because why? Because he keeps expanding that eye. And being the expand the eye, so in the pursuit of expanding that eye, so maybe all types of imaginations, right? Even shkorim, poshet, come up in his mind. Ubilvava yidme, that's the lotion of the Mesil Seishorim. Ubilvava yidme, in his mind he'll believe it. He really believes it's true. But he created that belief. And he believes it's true, ki eloi nova seilo, that he deserves all that praise. Now it goes further. He says, Bakoshes hispashtu shohani, this pursuit, which is ingrained, that a person, that he wants to expand the eye, there's no limit to that. There's not a point to say, okay, the eye is big enough. It doesn't go like that. If you're in the business of expanding the eye, there's no gevul. There's no answer. Okay, enough. I'm big enough already. There's no such thing as big enough. He says, Bakoshes hispashtu, the bakosh that you have to expand the eye, eneno yodas gevulois. He says, "The magas af letachlis ha'ispashtus," and it continues to go as much as it can. Shehodo medame, because a person believes shehu hametzias habilodis. He thinks he's the only one in the world. Kimamra kosef, the pasuk in Yeshaya, "Va'toim ribelibech aniva afsioid." It's only me and me. That's it. There's nobody else. And Radak says, "What does it mean aniva afsioid? Efes ulosioid." Like you say, "Efes kibyochu b'kodesh baruch hu." Person says to himself, also among the human beings, it's me, nobody else. There's nobody else. Leis oid bar mini. There's nobody else besides me. The Radak touches the posik. Now look further. Look what Rav Dessler says. V'kach koisev ha-goyin Rav Rom Eliyahu Dessler. Rom Eliezer Dessler. Eliyahu Eliezer Dessler. Okay, in the Sefer Michtam Eliyahu, Chelik Beis, Omud 51. Ha-taive, interesting thing. Taive is a terrible midah. Taive is a terrible midah. And we're going to see, by the way, the Orchid Sadikim talks about taive also. But he says, but there's a difference, he said, between taive and gaive. They rhyme, by the way. But there's a big difference. What's the difference? Look what Rav Dessler writes. This is the lotion of Rav Dessler. Ha-taive, he says, who mekbeles behisom legvule koiches haguf. Taive is basically, can only go as strong as the physical constitution of a person. According to how many koiches haguf, according to the strength, according to the koiches of a person's guf, to that extent, a person can have taive, as he goes to explain. But gaiva ain't gevul. Gaiva has no gevul. There's no limitation in koiches haguf that says I'm going to limit gaiva. It goes on to explain. For example, kishod misav lechol. Let's take taiva, common taiva. Person has desire to eat. You have a desire to eat, but guess what? Once you have eaten your fill, you can eat anymore. It's just going to. So the taiva will stop, at least for that moment. So he says, kishod misav lechol. A person has a desire to eat, right? Tavosoi nifsekes kishibol de svir. Right, when it becomes satisfied, becomes satiated, so then the taivas achila stops. The same thing with all the physical taivas. When certain something that is satisfied, for that moment it stops. But gaiva, he says, la'olam lo'tov al sipuka. Gaiva will never have satisfaction. A person with gaiva does never say, okay, I have enough gaiva. It's not such a thing. Gaiva lo'tov al sipuka. He'll never be able to satisfy. He says, if taiva is chumriyas, a physical taiva, it begins gashmi is the tuma, that's what it is. Hagaiva is ruchni is the tuma. Hear that? Gashmi has limitations. Ruchni has no limitations. So in the area of tuma, interesting, in tuma also is divided, there's gashmi is in tuma and there's ruchni is in tuma. Gashmi has limitations. Ruchni has no limitations, spiritual. In tuma itself, there's levels. There's the level of gashmi is in tuma and there's the level of ruchni is. Taiva is gashmi is in tuma, which means that there's a level, there's a gvul. Gashmi has a gvul. Anything that's material has a gvul. But gaiv is ruchnius of tumah. Ruchnius and tumah means there's no gvul. Okay, any of that's gvul, therefore there's no gvul. Says the Mesil Zishorim further, Rabbi Yisrael, let's take a look. The next piece, number three. The yesh geya acha sheyach shebeliboy. Now he's talking about another type of an arrogant person, another type of gaiv. You have a person, it's a very fascinating thing. There's a type of gaiva, shekvaru kolkach godlu mechubit. The person believes that he is so great and esteemed, at she efshe lekovet she is parish mimenu ven itzorach leklau. You hear, this is a very fascinating psychological thing. Ramchal says that it's possible that a person becomes so, right, infused with kovet and honor, that it becomes, in other words, inseparable to him, that in other words, he has no need to cultivate it, There's no need to cultivate it. Because why? Because he has become so, in other words, in his mind, he is so great and esteemed that he feels he has no need to cultivate it. Meaning, let's take a look. Well, therefore, he feels he has no need even to show it. He has no need to demonstrate it. To demonstrate that he has no need to cultivate the covet. So what does he do? Listen what he does. Yasem maisim kimasahoni. In other words, to demonstrate it, he'll behave in a way that's humble. Not just he'll behave like an onof. Not just he'll behave like a kanonov, but the yafriz al midoisov. He'll do it in an exaggerated fashion. Lahari shiflis godel. To exhibit great abasement, the anova and humility, adin cheker, he says, without limitation, show an evis, the libra misnasa bikir balemer, but in his mind he has gaiva saying, ani kolkach rom kolkach nerbot, I am so exalted and so respected, shekva any sochel kol, I don't need covet anymore. No, I don't need covet, because I'm so greatly respected. I didn't need any more COVID, he says. And I'm able to only elevateral if I can forgo it. Why? Shekvar Rav Hu Etzli. Because it's so much more. So the Sefer Kovit Senyon points out, you know what he's trying to point out? It's very interesting. Listen to what? Gaive is very fascinating. Gaive does not only express itself when a person acts like a Balgave. You can see somebody has his nose in the air. He says sometimes a person is such a Balgave that the Gaive is expressed through his anivis. In other words, evaster v'anunif. But that's not anova. He's acting like anonif out of gaive. You know what? That's what the Mitzvot Yishuv is saying. He's such a balgave, that he can't covet anymore. Not because he despises covet, but he's so full of gaive that he's able to demonstrate and to conduct himself as anonif. But the anivus is a product of gaive. So gaive can express himself, yes, I'm a big shot. Mamas, you can see people hate a big shot, but people like an onov. But sometimes you have an onov, he's not really an onov. He's acting like an onov out of gaive. Look at the next words here, number four. We'll finish that paragraph. Gaive does not necessarily express itself. Davke b'maisa gaiis. You don't have to have a mice of gaive to express gaive. Gaiva can bring humility, but it's not really humility. It can bring him to act as an onov. The ikar mokem hagaiva besoichel libo shalodem. In other words, you can act like an onov, but that's not anivus. Is really the true definition. What you are is in your heart, not what you do. In other words, you can do maisim like an onov. You can do in practice things like an onov. In fact, you're a big balgaiva. So actions do not determine whether one is an onov or of refined character. It's really what's in your heart. So who knows what's in your heart? So it goes on to point out, there's no way. By the way, what a person does is not necessarily he's a true Baal Midos, but you have to analyze sometimes the depth, what's behind it. What is his machshava? What's his cheshbonis? But to find that it was really deep, deep in his heart. There's no way to establish what a person's midos are simply by the way he conducts himself. He says, and that's, he says, what Ramchal is trying to say. I don't have to show gaive. I'm so gross, he says, that I'm able to be an onov. My gaive allows me to be an onov. So his anivus is part of his gaive. That's a new dimension in gaive. That's what Ramchal points out. So he looks like a nonov. And the truth is, as he points out later, this sefer here, Kovit Sinyon points out, the truth is, but you know, when push comes to shove, this false onov, you know, then all of a sudden he says, this anivus just explodes. And the true gaive, the true essence of the person really comes out. Then you really see what really was in his heart. That a kaim was going kanunov. He never really was a nonov. He really was a gaive, really. Okay, right, let me just finish up with a little maise here. And very, very interesting maise by the Rebbe Reb Zisha. Let me tell you this, that the Rebbe Reb Zisha lived in the 1700s, the brother of the Rebbe Melech, the Noam Elimelech. He's known, the famous two brothers, Sadiqim, Kedoshim. They were Talmidim of the Maggid of Mezrich. The Maggid of Mezrich, of course, is the successor of the Baal Shem Tov. So, the Rebbe Reb Zisha, by the way, passes away in the year 1800. So he lived his life in the 1700s. A person, by the way, who didn't have literally a penny to his name. However, he was a happy person who never worried. That was the Rebbe Zisha. a happy person and never worried, and he felt he had no problems, even though he was burdened with sorrows, with ailments, and he was extreme poverty. He never knew where his next meal was to come from, right? But he believed, of course, Hakel b'dei shemayim, that's where he lived. So he accepted by Ahava his lot in life with unbounded happiness. Happiness b'li gvul, mamish. Life of Simcha, Rebbe Bzisha. You know the famous story that they said a Yid came once and asked the Maggid of Mezrich, once asked him, he said, when Chazal say that Kishem Shem Mevorchim Ala Toiv, Kach Mevorchim Ala Ra, the same way that a Yid is supposed to make a brocha, you know, for the good things, he's supposed to make a brocha on things that are not so good. So he asked the Rebbe, he asked the Maggid, he said, how can a Yid make a brocha? Nebuchadnezzar Yasoros, how can you make a brocha? You know, be Mekabel, be Ahava, how can you do it? So he sent him to Rebbe Bzisha. Till he found Rebbe Bzisha, he sees, he finds out where does he live. He lives over here, he lives in a hovel somewhere, and he sees him sitting next to a stove, you know, freezing cold, he has no heat in his house, and he asked Rebbe Bzisha, this is Rebbe Bzisha, this is him, so he asked him a question. He says, explain to me, he says, I was told to come to you, explain to me, how is a person able to make a bracha al hara? Rebbe Bzisha, you're asking me, I never experienced a ra in my life, he said. Never experienced a ra in my life. Can't accept. This is Rebbe Bzisha. Even though his life was completely, as we said, his life was filled with ailments and burden with all types of sorrows. Anyway, so he would visit his Rebbe very often. He would visit the Maggid very often. And one day, Rebbe Bzisha was about to travel to his Rebbe. His wife reminded him. He said to him, you know, he said, we have a daughter to marry off, and there's no money. I asked you many times when you go to the Rebbe, ask for a brocha and some advice as the Maggid concerning our daughter, but you always forget. Please remember this time. It would be great tzaddik, great people. They go to the Rebbe, they would forget all about their personal problems, and basically they would concentrate, you know, that the Rebbe should help them out, they should have Aliyah and Avodas Hashem, how to help them out, you know, to be able to grow spiritually. And the person would forget everything about their material lives. It was a great friend of tzaddikim, and Rebbe Zisha would always forget, would go to the Rebbe and forget about his personal problems. And his wife reminded him, there's a daughter to marry. He also asked the Rebbe to give you some eitzah. So he says, I'll try not to forget, he says. Anyway, so he goes to the Maggid, and of course he forgets. And he forgets to mention anything about the daughter. And he came to the Maggid, you know, expressing concern for all types of problems except his own. His own problems he forgot to mention to the Maggid. And he was about to leave. The Maggid says, Zisha, don't you have a daughter to marry off? The Maggid asks him. So don't you have a daughter to marry off? He said, yeah. Oh yes, he says, yeah, I forgot to mention it. So the Rebbe takes out, he says, here, 300 rubles, tremendous amount of money. 300 rubles, says the Maggid, he says, and you should have atzlocha. Gives it to him. Shkoyach, he says, and he thanks the Maggid, he gives $300, and now he has at least some money, he can marry off his daughter. So he goes home. On the way home, he stops at an inn, you know, a long distance away, so he stops at a place, and he sees there's a commotion, so he decides to go in to see, to investigate. Realize that there's a chasana taking place. What's the problem? The problem is that the chuppah is being held up. You know, in those days especially, the nadin was a very important thing, the dowry. Seems that the kala did not come up. She was a yisayma, and the mother was the only one left to marry off her daughter, and wasn't able to come up with the dowry. So the chosen tzad was ready to call off the chuppah. This way was not an uncommon thing. Chosen tzad would call off the chuppah no matter what. If you didn't come up with the money, you have to, whatever it is, you have to come up with the money. So the Bzisha goes and tries to find out exactly, and he realizes that the mother promised the chosen 300 rubles. Punk that amount. 300 rubles. And she's frantically trying to figure out a way how she's going to come up with the 300 rubles. In the meantime, everybody was trying to give advice how to look for the money and so on and so forth. Rabbi Zish gets up and says, I want to speak. And he says, I understand, he says, that there's a problem here regarding, he says, the dowry, some money. But it turned, but the money, actually the way the story goes is that the mother said that she had the money, but she had lost it. But she had lost it. She had lost it. So Rabbi Zisha says that being that money was lost, he says, it just so happens I found some money, he says. Just so happens I found some money. And so people say, oh, you found some money. Maybe you found the lost money. So he says, wait. He says, maybe I did. He said, but I want the mother, you need some on him. So I want the mother of the kala to tell him exactly how much money there was and what the denominations of the bills. The denominations. So the woman comes forward, and to the best of her recollections, she gives the number of tens, twenties, fifties, usually just a marshal, whatever it was, and she had. The physician says he has to go back, he says, to his room to check whether the money that he found it fits the description. He has to go back to the room to see the money. So what does he do? He goes to a money changer, representation, and he changes the magid's 300 rubles into the exact denominations that the woman said to make it appear that he found the lost money. And he goes back and he says, oh, mamish, this is the money. It's exactly the way you said it. This is the denominations. And he gives it to her. And mamish moirig esimcha. And then the last minute he says, but just a minute, before I hand over the money, he says, there's one tanai. I deserve a reward, he says, for returning the money. So he said, okay, so how much do you want? So he said, I want 25 rubles. 25 rubles, again, it was... So he said, 25 rubles, he says, first of all, the money wasn't yours. This is lost money that clearly is her money. So if anything, he says, you're returning only money that belongs to her anyway. So what do you mean 25? What do you want 25 rubles? So Bikitsidi began to beat him, began to push him, and so on and so forth. And the Rav Zishi said, wait a minute, there's a Rav here in the town. Let's go to the Rav and ask the Shaila to the Rav concerning my request in this situation. So they go down to the Rav. And the Rav listens carefully, and by the way, and Rabbi Zisha presented himself as a Talmud of the Magid. The Rav hears the story. The Rav became very infuriated. He says, you're a Talmud of the Magid? You're supposed to be a Tzadi. He didn't know this, Rabbi Zisha. He says, you're returning money, lost money that you found, that a woman lost, returning her money, and still you want 25 rubles? Talmud of the Magid should make such a demand? So he says, this is something, this is very insensitive, and so on. And of course, he was ridiculed by the townspeople because the Rav said this is not really a right request, and with abuse. Months later, the Magid happens to pass through the town. And he stops to visit the local Rav. Unaware that Rav Zisha had a confrontation. As the two spoke, the Rav tells him about an incident that a Talmud of the Magid, he said, it was a Talmud, he said, the Magid of you, he says, and he did something that's unbecoming of any Yid, especially a Chosid. And the Magid realized this must have been the Rebbe Zisha, he says. He smiled and said, I'll look into the matter. So he knew that if it, this had to be the Rebbe Zisha. And he knew if it was the Rebbe Zisha, there has to be an explanation. The Magid returns home, he sends a shliach, he wants to see the Rebbe Zisha. When Rebbe Zisha stood before him, he says, I understand that tzaddik like you, why you gave back the money. Gave back the money. It was your money. You never found the money. You did a tremendous effort. The money that you were supposed to take for your own daughter, you gave away. And you did it in such a way, it shouldn't look like even you're giving tzedakah. You did it in a way to make it look like that you found her money. I understand that. I'm not surprised. A person like you is such a tzaddik. But tell me, he said, when you returned the money, when you came back the second time, why did you make such a demand? Why did you make such a demand? Which was the cause of ridicule and abuse that you said you wanted. Well, he knew that he was not a reposition, he was not into money at all. He said, you want the reward, you want the 25 rubles. The physician was sort of like embarrassed, but he says, listen, he says, he smiles and says, Rebbe, he says, I'll explain to you, he says, when I went to the money changer, and I knew I'm doing this mamish the way the woman said, in order to be able to give back the money in the best way, becoveting a way that she should think that I found the lost money. Yisahara came up to me and said, Zisha, you're such a tzaddik, look what you're doing. You're such a great Baal Madrega. We're talking about guy over here. The Yitzhahara says, I realize here I'm doing such a great mitzvah, but I realize it's going to my head. The Yitzhahara has an opportunity here to be able to praise me, to ingratiate me, because how many people in the world would ever do such a thing? Zisha, you're such a tzaddik. And Memela, he says, no one but you, says the Yitzhahara, would do such a thing. This mitzvah is the best thing you've ever done. In other words, he was trying to taint the purity of my mitzvah by throwing gaiva into it. It's going to tarnish my mitzvah. I realize, said Rebbe Zisha, that if I fall into the snare of the Yetzirah and begin to feel conceited, the mitzvah would be tarnished, would be incomplete. And the side of the plan which would earn me abuse and insults, again, no covet, he says, by this, now the mitzvah is pure. Mitzvah lishma. Mitzvah should not be tainted by gaiva.